Welcome to our little study group of module 8.9.2. This is the DHCP lab that some people have a little bit of trouble with, so we're just going to go over it today and work through it. Before we start, does anyone have any questions? Okay, good. So the reason that this lab is, my headphones are falling off my face, hold on, is a little bit tricky is because we're doing it in a kind of reverse order here. What's going on is that we have already set ourselves to DHCP because that's what Windows does by default. So when you get a Windows box and plug it into the network, it's already set to DHCP. You don't have to do anything.
Necessarily. If you've done port forwards and stuff, like I was already, when I did this lab, I was like, oh, I actually did something right because I had already gotten the static IP because I'd been forwarding ports with my router. So you might already have it done if you've done something like that already. So you might actually end up doing it exactly the way they want you to. I did. And I didn't even mean.
So sometimes people panic a little bit when they see that they're not seeing exactly what the lab thinks they're going to see. So, all right, let's see. And it really helps if I actually put myself on AutoVox so I can read while I talk to you guys. That really does help.
So you didn't actually quite do it?
No, I hadn't. And I was sitting there and I'm like, why can I only read with one hand? So we're not going to do this with host A and B because we don't have host A and B. And the other nifty thing is we don't have a telnet, which is fine. We don't need it. Because we're not doing that part of the lab because the telnet server, like, you're not going to use telnets, public telnet servers very often anymore. So, like, I seriously sat online and looked for 2 hours to find a public telnet that we could play with. And I couldn't find one that would do what I wanted it to do. All right, so what we're going to do first is we are going to go into Network and Sharing Center. And the best way to do this is to go into your Start menu and press Enter on the Network and Sharing area. If you're in XP, you're going to go to Control Panel and find Network Connections. on Windows 7, you're going to find the connection name, and it's called Local Area Connection 2. Or local area connection or wireless, depending on what you happen to be connected to at the moment. It is under Network and Sharing Center.
I'm actually on the Windows 7 computer, so I'm not going to actually do it, but I at least want to see where it is.
What's up?
I said I'm at least actually connected to the Windows 7 computer, so I'm not going to follow it all the way through, but I at least want to see where you're going. Ah, this looks familiar now.
So now what you're going to do is press Enter on that, and it's going to come up with details of your connection. And if you draw the cursor around, you'll see all sorts of information. But that's not the information we actually need. We want to go to properties. So you're going to tab to properties and press enter. Once you press enter on the network connections tab, or on properties, I'm sorry, you can use your JAWS or review cursor to have a look at the name and model number of your Ethernet card. That is going to be the first connection. For me, mine is a Realtek PCIe GBE family controller. Number 2, apparently.
Careful, there's one that says wireless properties that'll give you properties about your wireless network that I accidentally hit that wasn't the right one.
So that's going to be the first thing you're going to put into your lab sheet, is the name and model number of your router. Or router network card. Does anyone have any questions about that? Cool. Has everybody who is following along actually completed that step?
I see it here, what it is. It's an Intel thing.
Cool.
Yeah, mine's a wireless one because I'm only connected wirelessly.
That's all good. So what you're going to look for next are what are the items that this connection uses. And that's going to be in a list view. And you can just go right down this list view and summarize what's in there. That's what you put in your lab sheet. Just these items in this list view right here. So once we've done that, we're going to find Internet Protocol version 4. And we're going to go to properties. Now, what you're going to see here if you have not set any type of IP address, is that you have obtained an IP address automatically, and you have obtained a DNS server address automatically. So have a look if you don't have that, and see what's there. You're probably going to find a whole lot of nothing if everything's already automatically configured. You won't see any fields, there's no information here, and that's okay. Now, if you have configured a static IP address at some point, you will see information for the IP address, default gateway, and subnet mask. Does anyone have anything other than nothing in their fields here? Okay, that is standard operating procedure, and that is good. So now we're going to go to a command prompt, and actually, once we have our automatic IP address, we're going to find out how we get the IP address gateway and default gateway and subnet mask, because we can't get it out of this dialog box. So what we're going to do is we are going to hit Windows R, because it's operating system neutral, which is going to take us into a run dialog box. And we're going to type CMD, and we're going to get a command prompt window. Has everybody got a command prompt window up? Is anyone having any trouble?
No, fine.
Nope, got that.
Good, good. Okay. So now what we're going to do is, remember in 5.4.8, I taught you guys how to pipe input to another place, like a notepad document, so that you don't have to use the JAWS cursor to go through all of that information, because sometimes the information will scroll off the screen. So we're going to use this command again to pump out all of the information you need for this next part of the lab into a notepad document. So we're going to type ip /all (greater than), and then we're going to type in c:\.
What command are we typing?
ip/all (c:\iptest.txt). Doesn't matter what you actually put as the file name. You could put anything you like. But,
can you give that again?
Yes, sure. IP, as in IP address, /all (greater than) c:\iptest.txt.
You missed something, Grace. It's IP config. It's IP config
/all. Oh, I did too.
I'll key it into chat.
I see it. One more time?
Yes, ip config /all.
Check your chat window if you're in it.
Helps if I give you guys the right command. I was trying to think about how to pipe it more than the actual command I was giving, which I type in God knows how many times a month. Go ahead, Kate.
So the greater than followed by the file name is the part of the thing that pipes your results. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, that's what I'm telling you. So anytime you have to do a command line and you have results that are going to splash across a screen, you can type that greater than and pipe it to a text file or whatever you want to do so that you can read those results later.
Well, that makes a huge difference to so many of the things that I've done so far.
Yeah, it does, and it's really, really, really a good thing to know, and it makes these labs about 18 million times easier if you can look at these things at your leisure.
It only works for command line applications, however, so anything that throws up a dialog box, you're done. It has to be an IP config, a PNG, one of those things that spits to the console window.
But you can do
yeah,
something...
I understood that.
You can do something quite similar with non-command line applications. You have Alt Windows V, is it? Or Alt no,
w.
Alt Windows W. Yeah, it depends
or
on your version.
Control Windows
of...
W, depending on what version of JAWS window I
later
set their own script.
Yeah, 11 and up. It's insert
JAWS Alt W. Because you. Because your insert key, or it could be your caps lock key, so we say JAWS yeah. key, Alt W, and that will put
That's
going to
virtualize your
buffer.
Window. You can copy, paste, do all sorts of neat stuff with that.
Oh, I use the JAWS virtualize window a heck of a lot as well.
I forget it's there.
goodness gracious, Windows 7 gives me a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that's why we pipe this out.
Turn off IPv6. Turn off IPv6, Sean, and that your stuff will decrease significantly.
All right, so let's find this dump file that we've got.
Did you get yours dumped out, by the way, Brad, after all that to-ing and fro-ing?
Yeah, I think so. Bunch of stuff showed up on the screen.
Oh, no, then you didn't. Nothing is supposed to show up on the screen. It will do it silently.
Hmm, okay. I'll go back and look at the chat thing again now.
Yeah, it's ipconfig space greater than, and then a
no,
file
IP
name.
No, ipconfig slash all space
okay, ipconfig space slash all space greater than. Well, ipconfig would have given him some of the information. It just wouldn't have given him all of it. At least he would have had a file to look at.
Microsoft Isotope Adapter? What the heck?
That's a tunneling adapter for IPv6.
There's all sorts of fun things in here. Greater. All right, there we go. So once we've all got this file, let me know, and we can have a look for the information we'll need.
We are aware that releasing their IP address on their live machines is going to knock them off Ventrilo.
Yeah, we probably won't do that step. We might let them do that on their own. But at least I can show them how to explore this file and get the information they need from it. And I'll tell them how to do it. Okay, go ahead, Kate.
Are we looking for the local IP6 address?
No, we're working in IPv4, fortunately for us. So we're going to find, usually, mine is the... Oh, no.
He'll be back.
So the IPv4 address is going to be probably the first one. You're going to find the connection that you actually were looking at. So for me, it's local area connection 2. And that is, for me, 192.168.24.11. So, Kate,
no,
if you
not.
Look at...
It's .117.
It is 2.
I swear, I set that network up. I know that.
You totally did. And I'm looking at it on my Braille display, and I've got a 7 and a parentheses, and I just looked at them both and saw them as parentheses for no apparent reason and just dropped that last character.
So mine, for instance, is...
Go ahead, Kate.
Mine's 192.168.0.181.
That's right. And what is your subnet mask?
The typical thing for Big Pond, 255.255.255.
Oh. Okay,
that's
now that is a
Big Pond.
Yeah, absolutely. That does not have to do with your Big Pond. That
Ed,
actually.
Ed, do you want the MAC commands, by the way?
I don't think he's actually around at the minute.
Oh, okay, all right. If he comes back, I've got the MAC commands for him.
Okay.
That's so because it's addressing the internet. It's not about my thing. It's about addressing the internet, right?
Sort of. Okay. So what your subnet mask tells you, actually, is how many bits are in the network part of the address and how many bits are in the host address. If you look at a subnet mask that is 255.255.255.0, it's going to tell you that the first three octets, 192.168.0, are network octets, and that the last one is your host portion of your IP address, so the 181. This means that you are in a Class C network and that you have 254 available IP addresses on your network.
I won't use them all at once, I promise.
You'd be surprised, people do.
Marshall was just saying in his department they have apparently run out of IP addresses on their subnet. Mentioned
it
that while
happen.
You were gone, I think. Yeah, he's like, because everyone
just
brings
need to
in their
extend the network
and
mask.
Their laptops. And yeah, I think that's probably what somebody's going to have to do, but I don't think it's him.
Okay. Funny, he was in one of my classes. He should be able to do that if they needed him to.
Oh. Yeah, well, I've been in a few of your classes and I still can't quite do it. But that's more of a me thing. All right. So you've got your IP and subnet mask. Does that make a little bit of sense on the subnet mask, Kate?
Yeah, I followed that bit not too badly. I suppose I've just used to being the person who does all the talking in class, and so I've just been doing it anyway.
That's fine. No. You keep talking and asking questions. That is absolutely not a problem. Okay.
Nothing more boring than a class that doesn't have anyone to talk in. We don't tend to
Absolutely.
have that either.
Yeah, our people just talk plenty. All right. I think he's having. Go ahead,
So
Kate.
the next two things you'd be looking at is when your lease was obtained and when it expires.
Yep, that's exactly right.
I'm lucky, I've got a 7-day lease.
So do we. You probably have a Linksys router too.
Thought you had more than that, actually,
I've only
Grace.
got one.
Let me see. Oh, jeez, I do. It's going to be the 17th of July when my lease renews. I'm wrong.
Mine goes away tomorrow.
It's funny though, because I've looked at this several times over the last few weeks, doing this course and that, and it seems that it always gives me 181. It seems to be the default one that it leases to me. It doesn't change very often.
That's right. You don't want it to change either. Your IP or your router is going to keep track of which IP address it gives you. And
No,
when
it
you're
doesn't
on,
actually.
doesn't it?
No. What
Yeah,
actually happens
Kylie
is
said to me
Windows
it
keeps.
doesn't.
Oh, it
If you
did.
turn the router off, it forgets. So as soon as you turn the router off, it
But while
forgets
it's
any
up, it
IP
keeps
addresses.
track.
But what actually happens is that Windows says, "Last time I had 181, can I have 181?" And the router goes, "Okay." And that's how it remembers. Because it's actually Windows that keeps track, not the router. So
Okay.
Windows will try and refetch the address it had
Windows is the
before.
annoying little kid.
I
We hear you.
want this
And
one.
then the router, if the router can let you have it, it will say, yes, you can have 181, and then it makes a note of it. But when you turn the router off, it forgets all of the addresses that it remembered.
I might actually have a look on the brown note and see what it says, because I'm assuming that because it's Windows CE, it'd probably retain the
Well,
same
it's
sort
going
of
to have a
thing.
different IP.
Oh yeah, I know it'll have a different IP, but what I'm saying is it might not remember it the same as Windows 7 does. I don't know.
I think they implement DHCP similarly. One thing you
Give it a
will,
go.
like you
Let's
can have
find
a
out.
play with. One thing you can have a play with is on the brown note, the ping actually is cool because it actually makes a different sound when the connection is alive versus when it isn't. So under the
Cool.
advanced options somewhere, I forget where it is, there is a
Oh,
ping
that's
under there,
neat.
and it'll actually go poof, poof, if it doesn't get a ping back. It makes different sounds.
Yeah, well, one person has to charge up one's Braille note before they can do these things.
Ah. That does help. Okay, so here's a trick, or a question that trips people up. What is the default address of your router, of your DHCP server? So, what do you think? What in this file do you think corresponds to that? Anybody?
I've got a default gateway, which I thought was what it was.
You're right. Good job. All
Actually,
right.
further down, it actually the technically correct answer for that, further down it actually says DHCP server. And
P
if you look
server, it
on our
does. It's right
network,
below. Yeah, right below.
and on our network actually, Grace, you'll notice that the default gateway is not the DHCP server. So you'll notice the two
Mine
addresses are
isn't
different.
either. On most home routers, it is.
Yeah, mine are the same, of course.
On our crazy server lineup, it isn't. But hey, if I have my way, it might be in a few weeks if we can get our router working.
She won't get her way.
Aww.
It might not work.
Well, no, the router will work, but it's just there's limited space in the router's memory for the leases, and I'm already starting to run out of flash, so no, it can stay on custard.
Yeah, that could be a.
So
Okay.
what?
Go ahead.
So what's DHCPv6? Is that different again?
That's IPv6 stuff.
DHCP, that's IPv6.
Yeah, anything that's got 6 on the end of it, you probably don't need to worry about right now. In fact, I encourage a lot of people to turn off their IPv6 stuff, except it does break home groups, so probably don't. But yeah,
See
ignore the 6 stuff.
15-minute discussion on IPv6 from last Thursday's lecture.
Or the 2007 Thursday chat that has about an hour and a half on IPv6, presented by yours truly. Very boring. Good to go to sleep to.
That's all right. My home network's shaky enough without me doing anything like that.
All right. That is the entirety of that lab. That is basically what you have to do, I think. I'm just looking to make sure that's all you have to do.
I hope so, because it's all I did and I got passed.
Well, yeah, then I think you're probably right. Oh, yep, you're right. We're all good. That's all you had to do. That's it. So, there's that lab, and I hope that helped somebody.
The big problem is that people don't realize they can snap it to a text file, so there's this panic to try and pull it off the screen with the review cursor. That's where the problems in this lab come in.
Yeah, well, we had similar problems doing stuff in, I think it was Chapter 5, when we were looking at command line things.
5.4.8 is really hard to do without that bit.
Yeah, thanks for going over that again, Grace, because I was trying to do that the other day and it failed epically.
I showed you that in 2009, didn't I, Grace? As part of
Discovery? Yeah, for Discovery. That's standard Discovery. You have to know how to do this training.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, it's really going to make a big, big difference to stuff that I do, because my thing scrolls, you know, if you do help, for instance, the only help that I get is about the last third of it.
That's true. Keep in mind, though, that the command prompt does have a scroll back feature, and you can click the icons at the top and bottom of the window to scroll back. I'm not saying that that's the best thing to do. Also, make sure your command prompt window is maximized before you start messing around in it, because funnily enough, a command prompt window that isn't full screen doesn't hold anywhere near as much text as one that is, and I always forget.
Well, there's three big things that I've learnt this morning. Thank you.
No problem.
How do you maximize it? The same way as normal with the alt space?
Alt space X.
It's X. Oh,
okay.
Ooh, another little trick. Another little trick that you guys probably know, but I just have to gloat about because I seriously forget this. And maybe by saying it, I'll remember to use it more often. If you want to paste something into a command line, which we really shouldn't do because we're in IT and we're trying to learn the command line a little bit, but if you were to want to, you hit Alt space, you go to the Edit menu under the Alt space, and there's the Paste, and you can paste things.
Why doesn't Alt F4 work to close things, or close the command prompt if it already has an Alt space menu?
Because Alt F4... is not... Alt F4 is not... A command prompt window is designed to not be a Windows construct. So whilst you've got all the stuff sitting under the Alt Space menu to be able to pull those down, it's not meant to behave like Word or whatever. What happens if you're in the middle of running a batch file and you pressed Alt F4? Should it bomb out? No. It's better that it doesn't bomb out when you press Alt F4 to stop those obsessive Alt F4ers from killing some command job that's in process.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay. Sam, are you here?
I am here.
I just got your email, because I was going to actually writing an email to the list to tell them that, hey, it's safe to come on, we're done with crazy 8.9.2, in about 10 minutes we'll start our virtual machines. And I saw that your system timer is IRC2. Carrie and I were talking about it yesterday, and I had never seen that. So, yeah, that is really, really interesting.
It's different.
You're nowhere near your microphone, I'm afraid, Sam.
It's pretty near me. How's that? Any better?
No, yeah,
I don't think you're on the microphone you think you're on. It sounds like you're on a laptop microphone of some description.
You might need to tell Ventrilo to use the external mic that you have.
That is possible. But, Carrie, have you ever seen that before?
If he's running an APIC system with an advanced programmable interrupt controller, it is possible that it has reassigned the timer interrupt, and it sometimes happens if you're using... the version of the HAL that lets you use the high-performance event timers and stuff. I have seen some in Windows installs that have been installed in APIC mode do that.
Yay.
How long before you're going to start, Greg?
How long do you need?
About 60 seconds.
You've got it. You've got 10 minutes. I'm
just going to go and grab a drink.
Okay. Did you have enough of 8.9.2, Brad?
Well, that was really fun because it just disabled my whole network when I tried doing all that. It just
really.
Oh yeah, when I typed the ipconfig /all.
Oh, hang on. Did you put a space between ip and config?
No, I didn't. I was ipconfig /all.
/all.
Yeah, space and then c:\iptest.txt. It came up with all this stuff on the screen, you know, in the screen, and then then it just knocked me right off.
What?
I couldn't get email, I couldn't get on the net, I couldn't get anything. So then I just went into my local, you know, went into the network connections, went into the local, and it re-enabled it, and then I was able to get back on again. But it somehow just disabled it. I don't know why, but it just disabled it.
You have a gremlin in your computer.
You missed a greater than, by the way. But maybe you just forgot to say it.
Well, yeah.
Look, if you want to try again,
I'll go into the file.
Yeah, I can email you a command if you want me to do that, and you can try again at some point, or I can come help you try again. I'm sure you'll be fine on your own, but
yeah, just email me. But I that's fine. Just send an email just to make sure that I got it right. But
no problem. That is
some reason. Yeah, just. Because I tried it like 3 times, and you said it shouldn't show anything on the screen, and I tried it, and it gave all this information on the screen. I thought, well, I don't know, but I did find an iptest.txt in my root directory, but there was nothing in there. I don't know if there was supposed to be anything in it, but it was empty Word document.
I think you possibly missed a greater than sign.
Oh, okay.
Betcha. I mean, that would make some sense because it just didn't pipe. So it's not a big deal. Sorry about that. And good troubleshooting on restoring your network.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
There we go.
That is special. Okay, so you know what I'm going to do? I am going to have some fun with virtual audio cables and have an adventure of my own here, because this will be like the second time I've ever done it. Last time being about 11 last night.
Let's stop
the recordings and restart
it. Until we actually get to the presentation.
That.
All right, stopping.